Welcome to the Gareth Mauer Podcast. This is Chris. Today I am bringing you a short interview, but nevertheless interesting, that I did at IT Arena in Lviv in Ukraine. I am speaking with, and here is where I'll probably slaughter the pronunciation, Anatoly Lechenko, I think. I think he will introduce himself correctly soon anyway, from Elex, a software development company in Ukraine. And he is a solution architect there, but has a particular interest in blockchain, which of course I do as well. And it was interesting to speak to him because what he's actually passionate about is talking about real-world use cases of blockchain, which is something that many people keep asking about. And a lot of the time, people don't have solutions. And he actually has some trial projects with real-world enterprise clients. Obviously, he couldn't go into any details of them, but we spoke about some of those use cases he had with some real-world clients and how they were finding using blockchain. Enjoy.
My name is Anatoly Litovchenko. I'm solution architect at Elex Company. I also, at the same time, also head of software architecture office. So I'm responsible for general solution or software architecture expertise at the company. At the same time, I'm really passionate about the blockchain as a technology. I'm trying to drive this technology in the company. I started about 2.5 years ago with these prototypes, and now we have several projects with several clients. Mm-hmm. So this is who I am and what I do.
And what you had a talk yesterday, maybe briefly summarize what that was about.
So idea was just to share my experience with different kind of customers in the blockchain as a technology, because we experienced hype in this technology, and I believe, and Gartner actually shows this in the Gartner's hype cycle, that blockchain is going down into this a valley of inflated expectations, I believe. So everybody's become more aware of this technology. They understand what this technology can and or cannot do. So I shared some myths in realities. Myth was that the technology is for me a way to on a hype right now. But in reality is that about 2025, those years, this technology became more mature and more adapted within the business.
Yeah.
So that's my belief.
And when you say, because actually I do a reasonable amount of work in this space, and I find it very interesting too. I find it very interesting from the technology perspective. I'm glad that most of the sort of financial hype from last year died down a little bit.
And this hype is ICO.
Yeah, we can get back to the interesting aspects of the technology instead. But I always struggle to find people actually using blockchain in the wild.
Mm-hmm.
So are your clients testing, or are they actually production?
Truly saying, we all now more in the face of prototypes or MVP, okay. So this piloting projects. There's actually a reason for that. As for me, blockchain will change the business processes. Mm-hmm. Those clients which came to us, they want to experience that change, but they're not ready to adopt this change right away. For them, it means different org structures, different business process, different sources of revenue in the company, and it's really hard to transform the company, especially enterprise-level company, to do that. They more do prototypes or MVPs or things like that.
And what sort of business cases most?
We have a few projects with data-related or documents-related, when you actually keep documents and you trace those changes, the audit trails, it's publicly available, so you kind of protect it against any unpredictable changes inside, or the personal data, which you'll be able to sell on the marketplaces. And again, everybody sees that you have this data, you generated it, and there is some kind of a currency internally as exchange of this data, and that might make sense.
And are you using, I guess, private blockchains?
We tried with both. Currently, we choose the Ethereum as a public ledger, and Hyperledger as a private or permission. As for us, it's more matured. As for me, it's more matured currently from its vision. They have a strong vision. They have a good platform support. They have nice tooling, and developers are able to do that.
Yeah. Actually, I wanted to ask that first, because I can now tie back to something you said earlier. I've interviewed the project lead of Hyperledger twice, actually. And the last time I was speaking to him, I had just recently been to an event where The speaker was talking about Hyperledger, and they gave a so-so example, and a lot of people in the audience were kind of, why bother? And I put this to him, and he said, well, the one major difference on a private blockchain to most businesses is you don't have to have this sort of gatekeeper anymore, the central admin who has to manage everything. And of course, to some people, that sounds like a huge positive. But to, yes, your traditional enterprise, which is probably where you're saying the cultural change, this is a big shift to suddenly say access and control in a network is managed by something else, not just a bunch of exchange accounts, you know. And so, yeah, in how hard have you found to convince enterprises this is a good idea in this day and age?
Really hard to convince, except the cases where some technical people, usually C-level people, maybe CTO or CIO, they want to do this. They want to do this rather as the prototype, or they want to do it rather as a kind of innovation curve. They choose it in the company. We have, for example, two cases. Imagine in one case we have a logistic company, and they have last mile delivery, and they have fleet of vehicles. They manage it. They own the drivers. The drivers are part of their company. And for them, blockchain in this area doesn't make sense. It makes sense to do a centralized database, keep all the records, know your people, know your fleet, manage that. But imagine another logistic company who doesn't own the fleet of vehicles or drivers, and they want to kind of outsource or crowdsource it. And they can own a kind of an Uber. They can allow people to join their network, their company, and blockchain in this case really makes sense. So shift from one business into another is hard for them. Another case for the data contracts, let's say more about the document tracking, document flows. So there are different centralized applications where they keep document flows and document changes history internally. And from that technical point of view, it's easily it's easy to mess up with those audits, with those versioning history, even if you know where to look at, right? You don't know what to do. So for them, it makes sense to keep all those records, all those hashes of documents, all those versioning on the blockchain, where it's a kind of impossible because it's decentralized and somebody else can keep the copy of these records just for...
Unlike Git, where it's actually, in theory, you can change a commit, make it look like it was someone else. And there have been cases of people changing commits to being from Dennis Torvald.
Some of the companies said, okay, we have a document flow internally. Different companies for us have to approve those documents. So you have like a financial company, you have a logistic company, freight company, and a bunch of other companies. When they receive document, they have to again read it once again, check whether everything is fine and there is no hidden text or change mess up with the numbers or something. And they do it every time they have this turnaround of documents from external companies. So they kind of do a double work. And blockchain made sense for them.
And with the projects you've put on Ethereum, what have they been?
Usually on Ethereum we have a kind of tokens, and those tokens, those tokens are rather a value of services. We have marketplaces for services, for example, right? Or those are a value of data you sell on the marketplaces.
How do you compare the developer experience between Hyperledger and Ethereum at the moment?
I would say it's totally different. And in Ethereum, it, for me, is quite simple. You have one language, you have all the infrastructure built in, you have maybe a few frameworks, but the same language. Hyperledger is a huge ecosystem. We try to use, we're actually using Hyperledger Fabric, which is supported by Linux Foundation, and there is Hyperledger SOTUS, which is supported by Intel. There are Airoha and few more. So it's those are different, really, those are different platforms, different frameworks for different purposes. So totally Hyperledger is kind of umbrella. They say it's umbrella for business cases, right? Enterprise enterprise level. Particular framework like Fabric, it's not only about the programming. Of course, there is a chain code, so we can program different contracts, but it's also about the network setup. In Ethereum, everything is pretty clear. You have the network.
Which is a problem in itself as well, but yeah.
Yeah. There are problems, and you have to like admit that. There is risk and reward ratio in that, internal currency, so on. In Hyperledger, Fabric, you have to build a network. You have to understand what roles will work inside, what kind of interactions, what kind of consensus they will have, how to build that, how to make those networks protected.
So you can even define consensus algorithms on either to a point.
Currently, there are two types of consensus in the Fabric. You have Kafka, kind of who is the majority, and kind of simple Byzantine fault tolerant.
Okay. Where do you host the Hyperledger? Is it with IBM or do you use your own?
Usually it's cloud providers. We have two cases on Amazon and Azure.
I didn't realize.
Haven't tried it with IBM, really.
I knew they had a...
They have this BlueMix and kind of native support of that, but we haven't tried, actually.
That's fair enough.
At the end, you just have virtual machine.
You seem the right person to maybe talk to about this. You mentioned tokenization a couple of times. It's one of these very interesting ideas, and I'm never sure how far it's going to go. You know, this great principle of, I don't know, I put this interview somewhere and people pay me tokens to listen to it, and I can use those tokens to buy something else, and et cetera, and et cetera,
kind
et cetera,
of Steam
et cetera.
Platform, right?
Yeah, you know, et cetera, and et cetera. But in reality, this is harder than you would hope, because you have to find someone to exchange them with.
Yeah.
There comes a point where you need to get proper fiat money at some point to pay for certain things. I mean, do you think this is a world vision that will ever happen, or?
My belief has already happened. So now it's like a refinement of the tokenization of token economy. We already have those tokens. Some of them is just representation of money. So they kind of a money, you have to exchange them, you have to get some reward for holding them. Another, they are kind of, there are different types from like SEC tokenization, right? But overall, the second type is probably some assets or shares or stocks, your own part of the company. And there are different tokens which you own, and they, in the fact that you own, somebody pays you money each week, for example, internal money like Ethereum. Second case. Another is the representation of some real assets like arts or land or currency, whatever. We internally try to build kind of a token, a coin. It's kind of gamification, actually. It's not a real money, but when you do some a good deal,
internal within the company.
Within the company, when you do some good activity, maybe some socially good activity, right? We can reward you with some internal coins. Everybody rest, the community, they will vote whether you're worth rewarding or not. If yes, you receive those coins. If not, maybe they will receive that coins because they see it's not. So it's kind of like a shared gamification platform.
Yeah.
At the end, you can exchange coins into some coffee or just some IT stuff which you will use internally again in the company. And so in kind of gamification, but for us, tokenization means that you transfer some untouchable things like good activity, good deals, some social responsibility into some digital tokens.
Yeah. So do you think the concept of tokenization of activities and our participation in those communities and networks is sort of at peak, or will it become more in the coming years? Or
I believe it become more. So I imagine myself being in a future world that there is a shared economy. We already speak about not owning a home, flats, right? You can rent it for a long term. We're speaking about not owning cars. You can rent a car if you need, and you can rent it for an hour, right? A few hours. You don't need to have your own car at the night. And that world of shared economy, it's lacking of some kind of tokens, coins, internal value transferring mechanism. I believe we will go
deeper in that. Countries like Ukraine, that maybe the conventional economy is still developing, and maybe more open to these ideas because there's a skepticism towards government and banks and things, or not really, or
yeah, I believe there is some kind of skepticism about overall cryptocurrency, blockchain. Okay. Somebody associate blockchain and cryptocurrency. Somebody think they are different. Yeah. Somebody think like Japan, they think that cryptocurrency is a currency. Some U.S. States, they think that cryptocurrency is an asset. So we can kind of trade that. Ukraine, we don't have our own opinion on the government level yet. We
Think it's something people are more, even trust more than taking money from a bank? Or
I don't know. I saw the experience of African countries. Some developing countries, they make a big leap. For example, in the cell phones, right?
The mobile money.
Exactly. So maybe some countries like Ukraine will also someday will make just a big leap. We don't go like a step by step, but we'll make a jump.
Coming back to what you said a minute ago, one of the other fascinating things that's happened in quite a few African countries is this jump from there being no record of who owns what housing and land to there being a lot of it put onto ledgers, so they did just jump and missed all the stupid piles of paperwork.
Yeah. I think Ukraine may do the same someday.
And going back to some of the more technical questions, I mean, with Ethereum and Hyperledger, did you just try I think the thing that always interests me the most with distributed ledger technology, blockchain technology, whatever we want to call it, is integrating it with more conventional and traditional application stacks. Did you go down the traditional, again, stacks that those two platforms use, or did you try other things?
And most of those projects are prototypes, so we do it a bit separate.
Yeah.
When in Hyperledger world, it's there are more integration. For example, since it's permissioned, we have to use some centralized storage of the user data.
Really?
Exactly. Permission means there is in Hyperledger there is a so-called certificate authority who emissions the certificate. So you came to certificate authority and say, okay, I am this person. Certificate authority gives you a certificate. You use their certificate within the network, and everybody knows who you are. This is like a concept of permission network. So you have, with the certificate, you have the permission to access the network. Without certificate, it's like closed for you. And this centralized certificate authority, for us, usually a kind of active directory in the company, some central database with all users and passwords.
Didn't realize this. This seems a little counterintuitive, but anyways.
But that's reality. As soon as you have the certificate, you can work on, you can make activities inside the network, but you have to get the certificate to get the access to the network. And this part is integration, for sure. So we integrate in this part. In the Hyperledger, we don't have so much integrations, really. We don't have so much integrations, and all prototypes, they were separate. Everything we build a kind of a separately, separate storages, separate infrastructures, things like that. So mostly no integration. In Ethereum world, we think that somebody who came to the network, they have some wallet and they know their keys.
So you didn't need Web3 or anything like that. Did you try any of the other permission of public blockchain?
We're still looking at the permission, the distributed ledger. They don't call it blockchain, but they call it distributed ledger R3 Corda. They move for financial transactions. Okay. From the public networks, a few of them appeared this year. I think they're all worth mentioning. EOS, Tron, Cardano. We haven't tried them yet. So by trying, I mean we haven't built any prototypes, any proof of concept, but we're just trying to research the vision and what tools inside.
I guess for you wanting to roll this out to enterprise companies, you've also got an eye on, will this project exist in 6 months as well?
Exactly. So we try to think more in the long run. Whether it's only ICO and blockchain means give us money and we'll buy for something and forget about it, or blockchain means we'll build some infrastructure which will stay for decades.
Hyperledger is under the Linux Foundation. Ethereum has a foundation, and Consensus kind of on the other side too. Like, there's reasonable. It should be at least a year.
That's why we choose them, because they have long history. They are supported by big names, right? And we believe that they are actively supported and have future.
What developments would you like to see in both projects or DLT/blockchain projects generally over the next 6 months?
From the development point, I believe more productive tools, frameworks, good environment where you can set up the environment just by a few clicks. Maybe some presets, predefined things like predefined processes as product chain or supply chain, things like that. Maybe financial, some assets instruments, things like ERC standards in Ethereum. I think they are good because it's kind of standardization. You have to stick to some rules. I expect those things to happen in the Hyperledger world too,
because I have that the demo I saw, they did start with that tool sort of aimed at business analysts where you can kind of write like a more English style language to get
I haven't seen that.
I think it's early days. I can't remember what it was called now.
We actively utilize BPMN notations, business model process notation,
and that's easy to convert to.
It's easy to execute, so you kind of build a UML diagram with those steps, what on the first step, on the next step, who does what, those are roles and different activities inside, and you can put it in a so-called business process servers, kind of a state machines who execute those processes, and they understand on what step what process is, and everything can be the business processes, they can be described with those notations. Things like buying a pizza or signing some complex documents, they can be described with those processes. And
actually, I guess blockchains and smart contracts are usually relatively simple in that there's a state and there's actions on the state. So, I mean, actually, that describes a lot of applications.
I saw one scientific paper which proposed to convert the business process into a set of smart contracts, self-executable contracts.
I've also seen a project looking to do that for legal contracts too. So a lawyer could write in legalese and convert, but I don't know. I mean, the whole thing with legalese is usually they make it as vague as possible intentionally.
So I believe all kind of those activities around those themes we covered, they will will boom next or few next years.
And what will you and your team look to do in the next 6 months?
I think we'll have more projects. We'll have more advanced frameworks, more experience in that. People who have 3 years currently are experts in the blockchain, right?
That's not an expert, that's a project creator, right?
It's actually not much. So,
And how long do you think until you have one of your projects live? What do you think's needed for that?
I expect it maybe for the next 5 years.
Okay.
What needed, maybe understanding of the business that they needed, that they are ready to make this shift in the organization.
Yeah. So you think it's more organizational than technology?
I think it's more right at the organization or really business shift. Yeah. So when there is a good book or a theme on the YouTube platform scale, we started from corporations. Now we have like a marketplace, and I believe we go in something like platforms or decentralized organizations. And when few of them will be built successfully, I think nobody believed in the Facebook in the early stages. Nobody believed in Amazon on the early stages.
Yeah, sure.
Google, right? There was some just a bunch
no one
of
believed
geeks.
In the internet.
Exactly. But as soon as we have some successful cases in those areas, I think business will go this direction.
And maybe just finally, whether it comes to underlying blockchains things, platforms, level two technologies, whatever it may be. What are some of the projects that excite you at the moment that you've heard about, or applications of those projects?
That's maybe a complex question. If we don't talk about blockchain, let's imagine okay. we cover some other thing. I was excited about different augmented reality projects, especially some games. On HoloLens, there was a game when you're kind of a detective. You investigate the scene of crime. Yep. You're trying to find out who was the bad guy, yeah. right? Who killed yeah. the good guy, what happened. You have different stuff in there, so it's so exciting to be inside this movie, inside
actually,
this game.
I just bought a board game that is delivered, and I'm trying to get my wife to find it, that does something similar. I saw it at a thing in the UK earlier in the year, and you put the cards out and you use it's a phone app, not HoloLens, mm-hmm. and then it shows you like the clues and things based on the code. So
exactly,
that's happening already.
When I first
yeah.
ran that game, I mentioned I stayed in my room. The HoloLens device itself, it created this 3D map of my room. It projected exact theme. There was a body on the floor. There was some
yeah.
blood on the my
yeah. I think
walls.
I've seen that. You just missed a HoloLens talk, actually. There's actually someone I used to know who was doing it. So.
For me, it was so wild. You were like in this movie, in this game.
Yeah.
You're not playing as a third person. You inside it. You're like a first person in there. On the blockchain area, I like what Hyperledger do. I'm a bit excited maybe in the Sol2s project.
Mm-hmm.
We started this Hyperledger Fabric. There is Sol2s, which is started this year, so more or less production version happens this year. And it allows you to build not only permission, but also open network.
Okay.
It allows you to integrate with Ethereum, because you can execute Solidity smart contracts in this
yeah.
Hyperledger Sol2s.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, this thing is exciting for me, and I think in the blockchain area, those projects should be able to join different blockchain
yeah.
networks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This
yeah.
direction is interesting.
Yeah, I mean, this is already a conversation a lot about sidechains and things,
yeah.
and instead if you could have two of the major ones joining instead, but we're still in that space where developers just like to keep making projects, and at some point some will fall.
Yeah. yeah. You know, we know, it's like first smartphone. Not,
yeah.
not Apple does that, right?
But well, do you remember Apple's first smartphone?
I remember Apple had an iPod, not a smartphone.
No. Before that, they had this weird Motorola tie-in.
Oh.
The Razr was terrible.
Really? Okay.
Which is basically a Motorola phone with iTunes on it. It was terrible.
So they were searching for a good form factor. Maybe.
They like to consign that one to history, but they did actually make a phone before the iPhone that was a disaster.
That may happen with every network we have currently as well.
Yeah. I think it already has.
Yeah.
And that was my interview with Anatoly Lechenko from LX at this year's IT Arena in Lviv, Ukraine. I hope you enjoyed the interview. You can find previous episodes at gregariousmammal.com/podcast. Support the show with donations and merchandise at gregariousmammal.com/support. Find us on Facebook. And you can contact me personally at Chris Chinch on Twitter or christianchiller.com. Please rate the show anywhere you've listened to it if you enjoyed it. And until next time, thank you for listening.